Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. As always, I am here with Jeremiah Stringer, the King of Kentucky Backpacking. I'm John Kelly, and we are in for a good night, Jeremiah. We're in for a good night. Do you like that music?
That was fantastic, man. DJ JK on the soundboard.
Just gotta add the music. We gotta add the remix at the end always. You know, we gotta add our little flair to things. Man, the comments are like going crazy already. Some of our favorite people are already here. Jason, backpacking with Jason. I pooped in some poison ivy Friday. Backpacking with Jeremiah.
Did he? Oh, man.
Kicking it off right, man. That's what we're doing. We're kicking it off right. Everyday backpacking. Jeremiah is dancing to his own tones.
Yeah, yeah. You're not wrong there. I'm happy, dude. I'm celebrating. University of Kentucky just beat Florida on Saturday. We are a second-tier team in the SEC now.
You are a top 10 team in the nation now.
It hasn't happened in the last...
You guys are ranked number 8.
Yep, and it's looking up and up, man.
Now, granted, my Buckeyes are ranked number 3, but you are number 8 right now, so I'm very happy for you.
Well, y'all might have started a little closer to the finish line. I'm not sure.
Maybe. I know that apparently backpacking with Jason's butt is itchy right now from...
I felt so bad. I was packing up on Friday, and I looked over at Jason's hammock, and it was still up, and I was about to take my tarp down, and I was like, man, he's slow today. And then I got over there to him, and he's like, man, I've had to poop twice. And I was like, yep, that's what's slowing him down. It's the poop. I didn't know he got into poison ivy, though. That's hilarious.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. So I also have something I get to celebrate sports-wise.
Oh, what do you got?
17-year drought. Okay, this is a 17-year deal, and it's been, I think, what did they say, 27 years since the Cleveland Browns won their opening day game in an NFL season.
Oh, congratulations, man.
Here's the thing. When you're a Browns fan, you basically live your whole life in misery. And so it was really, you know, this whole offseason's just been awful if you're a Browns fan. I just want to point that out. Like, the fact that we have Deshaun Watson on our team alone is just enough to like make me want to throw up. But you throw into that just the fact that we always look like we could be good, and then we're not. That's my life. Well, but here's the thing, Jeremiah. Okay. Tonight, we have a guest coming on, and we know for a fact this episode wins because of who our guest is. Am I right about this?
Oh, dude, you cannot be more right. I have been... very excited to talk to our guest tonight. I have a lot of things that I want to talk about. I never have enough time, but I think this is her second appearance on the show, if I'm not mistaken.
It is her second appearance, and we love having her on because she's a Southern lady, and she's just good people. And so I'm ready to bring her on. You ready to bring her on, Jeremiah?
Let's talk to her.
Let's talk to Miss Kelly Hayes. How are you?
What's up, y'all?
Hey, sorry you had to sit through our football talk there. I know that SEC, though, it's huge. You're from the South, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Hey, Arkansas is playing pretty well this year, right?
I think so. I have not been keeping up with football this year, and I know it's disappointing. I'm disappointed in myself, but there's been a lot going on.
That's okay. She has been very busy. I have been watching your videos. Let's start off by saying, if you haven't heard the previous episode or you don't know who Kelly is, she has a YouTube channel, big Instagram following. She's all over social media and recently was on the PCT and is currently doing some traveling. So I'm excited to hear all about that.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got comments coming in on football, dude. We have to get these out of the way real quick.
Okay.
Devin from Backcountry Exposure. Is the guest Stephen A. Smith tonight? you could be a Falcon fan. I'd rather be a heartbroken Browns fan, John, than any kind of Bengals fan. And where was the other one I saw up here? The Browns have a streak in the making. That's from the Pizza Ninja, so we know where that's going. Let's just go move on from there. So, Kelly, you just recently, you moved to Florida, and you're living in a camper right now.
I am, yep.
But previous to this, you were on the PCT for a while. Can you tell us a little bit about that adventure, kind of what happened? Because I know it didn't go how you had hoped. So if you could just kind of share with us a little bit of what kind of happened with that, that would be great.
Okay, yeah. So I started the PCT April 10th, I believe. Very excited, second through hike. I was starting with James, my boyfriend. If you guys followed me on the AT, I met him on the AT. We are dating now, and we're really excited to get back on a long-distance trail together and do what we love. And basically, the moral of this story is that I lived up to my trail name again, which is Nine Lives. I was on the PCT for approximately 3 weeks until James and I got COVID in the middle of the desert. Craziest thing, I'd never gotten COVID before, and neither had he. And we just happened to get it in the middle of the desert. How we got it, I will never know. But
all the places to get COVID, what?
You would think that's the last place.
Like, yes. Almost like completely away from any other human being.
Exactly. And we really were, because at that point, the PCT was a lot different than the AT starting out. Because at the beginning of the Appalachian Trail, like, you go to a shelter and you're camping with like 30 people every night. Like, you're passing somebody every 10 minutes. There's just a lot of people on the trail. Me and James James and I on the PCT, we were kind of weirded out at first because there just wasn't as many people. We're like, where is everybody? Like, the first night we camped and we were the only people at that camp spot. And so that was kind of how it was the first week. Like, we were starting to kind of get to know people, but we weren't really camping with people. We weren't really hanging out with people. And it was already starting to be a very different vibe than the AT was. So anyway, we get sick. I start feeling sick, and it just kind of felt like allergies at first. And then I was like, okay, something's weird about this. And we were about 60 miles from the closest town at that point, like in the middle of the desert. And so we did 2 18-mile days and then like a 10-mile day with COVID.
Oh my gosh, that's awful.
Yeah, and we finally got to this restaurant. It's out in the middle of nowhere called Paradise Valley Cafe, and we were able to get into town and went straight to the pharmacy and got the tests, and sure enough, tested positive. And we were in Idyllwild at that time, and we ended up we were off trail for, it was either 10 or 11 days. It was a long time. And It was really difficult because I can't remember if it was a holiday. It was a weekend, and there was a storm coming in. And so that, you know, first of all, Idyllwild is like a touristy place. So everybody goes there on the weekend. And then when storms come, all the hikers come to the nearest town and get rooms. So we were like freaking out because we had a room already booked before we knew we got sick. But then we had a book for like an additional week to recover. And so we were like hopping around from place to place. And thank God we found some housing, and it worked out okay. But that was a huge bump in the road for us, like financially. Like, wow. I mean, that cost more than my emergency surgery on the AT just because like of housing. Like, yeah. It's expensive. And you're in California, so like, everything's more expensive there.
I was just about to ask you, how expensive is it living in California? You only got a temporary taste of it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I lived there for 3 months in the beginning of 2021 when I was working at the COVID hospital. I took a contract out there, and I knew it was expensive. And then you go to a touristy town like that, small town. Oh my gosh. Food. We didn't have a kitchen.
I have What's to ask. So you worked at a COVID hospital, never got COVID. You were in the middle of the desert and you got COVID.
Sure did.
Wow.
And I was out face to face with people with COVID and never got it.
That's insane.
I know. And
that's insane.
I've worked at three hospitals since COVID started and never gotten it. And then,
yeah, you're in the medical field.
Yeah. Wow. And yeah, I mean, even at the beginning of COVID, before they found out that it was like an airborne thing, like nobody's wearing masks in the hospital. I was seeing COVID patients without a mask on before they mandated all that and figured it out. You know, at the beginning, they didn't know. And I still didn't get it. So it's just weird. Like, I don't know how that happened or where we got it from. But yeah, so we got through that and we tried to get back on trail. And so at that point, we are at the base of San Jacinto Mountain. And so up until this point, the PCT is pretty chill. It's super cruisy. We were doing an easy like 18 miles a day. Like obviously we were doing 18 miles a day with COVID. So like the trail was just very easy compared to the AT where it's like this, you know, there's elevation, there's rocks. Like the PCT was just like, you know, we were cruising. But then here we are, you know, just getting off being sick and we're staring almost 10,000 foot mountain in the face. And it was the hardest part of the trail yet. And it was about a 60-mile section until, can't remember the town right now, but like the next town. So we had to do that section. And it was tough. We got out there that first day and we walked, I think, 2 miles and we both looked at each other and were like, what are we getting ourselves into? Like we were out of breath. We were tired. We were exhausted. And I think the first day we did 6 miles. Oh, James just said it was banning. He's on right now. but yeah, banning. I don't even remember banning. We were so tired. We did like 6 miles, 7 miles. It took us like 5 days to complete this little 60 mile section. And by the time we got to our place, like I think we busted out 25 miles like that last day to get there because I was so freaking exhausted. And we're like, okay, we're going to take 2 zeros and just recuperate and stuff. And I think it was like the second day that I was there, I was just thinking, you know, I'm never going to fully recover from this, like doing what I'm doing right now. Like my body's never going to fully recover. I don't want to start my through hike out like this. I don't want to be, you know, just unwell at the beginning. You know, I want to start this out strong. And so that's when I made the tough decision to go home and actually just try to recover fully for like 2 weeks and just really rest and get good nutrients in me and a lot of rest and not be hiking long distances. And so I did that. James and I both went home and then we came back out 3 weeks later. I think it was 3 weeks on the dot. We started where we left off. Mistake number one. At that point it was mid-May.
Oh, so you're behind schedule already.
I'm behind schedule. I'm in the middle of the desert. And everybody who's hiking at this point is doing 20 to 25 miles a day because they're trying to get the hex up out of the desert because it's about to be June in the desert. But I'm like, oh, it's fun. I can do it. You know, I'm used to heat. You know, I live in Arkansas, whatever.
I'm an iron woman.
No, yeah. I was just like, oh, I can do it. Yeah, of course I can do 20 to 25 miles after I just got done with COVID. Like, God. I don't know what I was thinking. I thought I was just invincible.
It's but, kind of that hiker high, you know, like seriously, you get it when you're out there for a little bit and you start thinking, I can do any of this stuff. I'm not even worried about it. And
right.
It works. It really does work to your advantage after a while. But there's times like with what you're talking about right now, where it's just like, it does not work out well. It's just bad.
You've already conquered the Appalachian Trail.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I can do anything. Like I lost in Oregon. I let this get to my head. But let me tell you, the trail humbled me and it humbled me fast because we were out there for, I think it was day two. We came back out there. Maybe it was day three and we had to climb another. It was like another insane climb where we were like 9,000 feet up. And I'm also not used to elevation because, you know, the tallest part on the Appalachian Trail is what, 6,000 feet up in the air at Clingman's Dome. So like that's not that high, you know, like compared to like 9,000. And then it's dry out there. Like, it's just a whole different world out west. I wasn't ready for it. My lungs weren't ready for it. My body wasn't ready for it. We did 6 miles one day, and I looked at James and I said, if I don't feel better in a week, I can't do this trail, because here we are in the middle of the desert. It's 2,650 miles long, and I can't even hike 10 miles in one day.
Was he kind of in the same position as you?
Not really. James was feeling, he didn't really get as sick as I did. He was feeling good and able, and I feel bad because he was kind of hanging back with me, and I know that he could have been going more, and he wanted to take off, but I kind of was holding him back, and
that would have kind of made him a bad boyfriend.
I know,
I'm just throwing that out there for you. I mean,
if I told him he had to stay with me, that would make me a bad girlfriend. So
exactly.
When it came time, fast forward a couple weeks later, spoiler alert, I realized I could not do the trail, and it was a tough pill for me to swallow, but it was, I just had to buck up and swallow my pride and say that this year is not the year for me. I'm going to do what's best for my body. I wanted it to be another overcoming story like last year, but it just was not in the cards for me. And, you know, I thought about it. It's like, I put my body through so much last year, y'all. Like, I lost an organ. I hiked all those miles. Like, I was still kind of recovering from the Appalachian Trail when I started the PCT.
You posted something the other day on Instagram, and it was great. Somebody left you just really ignorant, like, comment.
Oh.
It's really long. Oh my gosh. And the whole time I'm watching it, so it's like, does the guy know what she had to do to like finish this trail? Like,
he don't care.
He acted like you were like some weakling, had no desire, had no reason to be out there. I would love it if you just like would like make that like a full-time post on your page, just so people can understand the life of a YouTuber, especially people who do long distance hikes, because you guys get crapped on bad. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, and, yep.
Yeah.
I should have kept all the ones from the Appalachian Trail. And then I got a lot of mean things from after the PCT too. Cause like, and it kind of sucked. Like, I'll just be real. Like, I was already super down on myself and upset that, you know, my dream crumbled in front of my eyes. And I try to put a video out and try to be, you know, open and real and just transparent. And people are just mean, y'all. And like, nasty. I was in a vulnerable spot. Normally, I just laugh at this type of stuff. But that was the first time that it really like cut me. It hurt me a little bit. So I kind of had to take a step back from YouTube there for a little bit. And yeah.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So, I don't blame you. We got a lot of comments. I want to make sure you see
these.
Let's
see these.
A lot of people talking to you specifically. So we got Tanya Brown just saying, hello, Kelly.
Hello.
I enjoy watching Kelly's videos.
Thank you.
Mary Ban, the PCT was tough. Riff Outdoors says blame it on Kyle, he hates hiking.
I met Kyle, he's really
yeah
cool.
I saw that yeah I saw yeah. that yeah, cool. Everyday backpacker, I probably would have died.
I thought I was going to too.
COVID is so strange. I wonder what strain you had. Did you ever find out what strain it was?
Does anybody know what strain we're even on right now? Like,
right now, I think we're back to the common cold, because I don't think it's nearly as bad as it was.
Yeah, that's what I like, think so, too.
The Delta, I had the Delta variant, and I had the original strain. I got both of those.
That was a bad one.
They sucked. They were bad. Yeah. I won't deny it. Also, I never felt the effects of COVID until I tried to hike elevation.
Yeah. Elevation kicked my tail.
Yeah. Riff Outdoors, when you know it's time to get off, it's time.
Yeah.
So I think everybody here is backing you up. Lossium Jim, the trail isn't going anywhere. You can always try again.
I had to tell myself that about 100 times.
Yep. I mean, the PCT is one of those trails not going anywhere. So
yeah.
Mary Bance says, you're Wonder Woman. You wonder why you thought you could do that kind of mileage after COVID. I think she was commenting while you were talking about losing an organ and finishing the Appalachian Trail. The trail provides, the trail takes away. And then this was a comment leading towards that guy that left the comment. Said he probably hasn't set foot on the trail.
That's true. I bet he hasn't.
It's probably some junior high kid, honestly. He's probably some 12-year-old.
Yeah.
just sitting there thinking he was funny. So, and then Pizza Ninja, of course, crapped on sounds like almost like a poop story.
Poop story time?
So we'll just lead with that for a second. Okay. And while that's going on, we've forgotten to bring up our fake news ticker. So that is now going for everybody. So Kelly, any poop stories from the PCT?
Yes, unfortunately.
Wow, here it comes.
So I think I actually like put this poop story in my video, and people are like, TMI. Like, well, I'm like, okay. First of all, I'm a dietitian. I talk about poop all day. People tell me about their poop all day. I read about it. I talk to nurses about it. And I'm a through hiker. So, like, you just talk about poop. So, anyway.
Yeah.
This was actually a couple days before I got COVID. So, I wonder if it was, like, a precursor, like, symptom. Because sometimes diarrhea can, with whatever strain we were on at that point, diarrhea was, like, one of the symptoms. Anyway, we hike. We got into a town that day. I don't know why I'm blanking on all these towns. But we stopped. We got food. Resupplied. This is at the very beginning of the trail, and we kept hiking, and we were gonna do like 6 more miles, but then it was super super windy that day and getting cold, and we found a good spot to set up our tent. And so we get our tent set up. It is windy as all get out. Like, I've never seen wind. Like, there's wind advisories out west. Like, you gotta watch for them, because you just, like, they're crazy. And there's like yeah, there's like, it's like crazy wind, like 65 mile per hour gusts.
Oh, well, anyway, gosh.
Yeah. So anyway, it is blowing. It's like 45 miles per hour wind, like crazy. Mount Laguna, that was the town. James just texted me again. Anyway,
you should leave comments on the live stream.
Oh yeah, James,
with him. We'd love to chat with him.
Yeah, please get on the live stream, James.
He doesn't have to get on a camera that way.
Yeah, there we go. All work. Okay. So anyway, we set up our tent, and it's freezing, it's windy, and I'm exhausted. And I lay down, I'm about to get into bed, and like, I'm all cozy and warm, and my stomach starts bubbling. And I was like, oh no, this is not the time. And it was the time. It was an emergency. So I grab my poop kit, and I get out of the tent, and now all these other hikers have showed up. It's kind of like this field, open field. I'm like, crap, there's nowhere to go right now.
Look who made it.
Hey, James, here you go.
There he is.
So anyway, what's up, man? He remembers this night because I was distressed. And so I get out of the tent. And I'm freaking out because, one, I'm about to crap my pants. And, two, there's nowhere to poop because there's people everywhere. And it's also, like, windy as crap and, like, freezing cold. So I finally find this place. I'm pretty sure a guy saw me pooping and just like acted like he didn't and like walked the other way. At that point, I didn't care because I didn't want to poop my pants. And so I have like the worst experience ever going to the restroom. Like, it was just painful. And ran back to the tent, and I was like, okay, I feel a little bit better. You know, when you have like diarrhea and you're just like, oh, you get like the first round over with. But then you kind of know in the back of your head, like, another round is coming.
Don't walk too far.
And I'm like, James is like trying to make me tea and like be helpful. And I was like, I can't drink that. I can't. I'm going to have to go again. And this time, like, it snuck up on me. And like, y'all, when I tell you, this is the closest I've ever been to becoming a through hiker, like pooping my pants. Like, I sadly pooped like maybe 20 inches from the tent, like in the tree, like behind it. And
same guy out there.
I hope this doesn't smell. Like, I was freaking out.
I think his comment says it all. That's, oh wait, it's up here. Diarrhea and cat holes are not always on the same page.
No, they're not. It was terrible. So yeah, that was my poop story. It was pretty bad. It sucked.
Was the sand blowing and hitting you and stinging you while you're trying to poop out there?
I was scared, more scared that it was.
Yeah, you're good.
Things were blowing around a lot, and I was worried. Like, let's just leave it at that. Like,
you're good.
Yeah. But it was scary because the wind was blowing, and I was like, dude, this is just a really bad situation.
Well, James said it was one for the books.
Yes. He had to hear all about it. Poor guy.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic. Where's backpacking with JC? He said you needed a poop hammock. Poop hammock would have fixed everything. Have we not talked to you about the poop hammock yet, Kelly?
No.
Wow, here we go. Poop hammock.
Jeremiah, you're the one that has the story here. You know what it's about.
I'll make this quick because some of our regular listeners have heard about the poop hammock. But it's basically, you've seen the hammocks that are like really small that you just sit in. It's like a chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the same thing, except it has a hole cut in it and then sewn to where the hole's not going to tear. And you string it up between two trees that are about arm's length apart, just like holding out your arms. Mm-hmm. And then there you go. Dig a cat hole under it and you sit on it like a toilet.
It's the most relaxing thing you'll ever do on trail.
Is that a real thing?
Oh, theportaprivy.com. You can buy one today.
We both own one.
What?
Yeah. Mine
is the same James, color. Christmas present idea.
James, I have to throw this up here. James made the best comment so far. All I could offer was thoughts and prayers.
It's true.
That's great. And back to Jason, it is real. The poop hammock is definitely real.
That's awesome, dude.
Did you have any other poop experiences while you're out there that weren't your own? Like,
wait, what?
Well, sometimes
did you experience somebody else's poop? Wait, I don't know what to do with
that. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, sometimes we have people on the podcast and they tell us a funny story about somebody else. So I didn't know if I know that you're hiking with James quite a bit, and I know that he's not on camera tonight, so you might not want to share anything about him. But feel free if you do. But was there any other funny?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I can think of.
I thought it was important to ask. We got to make sure we get all the
poop. Make sure. James, do you remember any poop stories? I don't remember. I'm just scarred from my thing.
Doc Watson, he said that look on Kelly's face when she realized it's real.
It's real.
So what we got to was clean record.
James says he has a clean record.
Yeah, he knows what's up. Maybe he's playing the Don't Poop in the Woods.
Hey, anymore. That wasn't the case on Angel's Landing.
Oh, what happened on Angel's Landing? I was wanting to ask you.
Yeah, we can segue into Zion with that poop story. Well, I guess I'll just tell James's poop story. It's not really that big of a deal, but we were like halfway up Angel's Landing and like there's nothing, like you're just climbing up a big mountain and there's tons of people everywhere. Like cat holes don't exist out there. There's too many people. And we still had like half the way to go to the top. And James, I turn around and James looks like he is just like, he's having a rough time. I was like, what's wrong? He's like, my stomach hurts really bad. I got to sit down. I was like, oh no, do you have to go to the bathroom? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you because there's literally no place to go. But when you get up to like the halfway point, you start actually going up on the spine of Angel's Landing. There are bathrooms up there. And we were both so excited when we saw those bathrooms. Like, we were almost more excited than we were to see the actual Angel's Landing. We were more excited about the bathrooms.
What kind of bathrooms do they have up there?
They were these weird bathrooms. They were like these outhouse type things. And you poop, and it's like a conveyor belt. You have to, like, pump it. And it, like, conveys your poop down into this chamber. I've never seen anything like it. It was very weird, but it was a conveyor belt.
That is crazy. Jason, yeah. I do want to ask his question here. Wag bag or no wag bag while you're out there?
What is a wag bag?
That means no. It's a poop bag that you have to wear in certain parts of the country because you're not allowed to do a cat hole.
Yeah, I actually just bought a WAG bag because I'm thinking about doing a trip here in a couple weeks where one is needed. So, okay, I didn't know they had a name. I searched poop bag on Amazon.
Look at the poop digest. True stories told by the actual pooper.
Love it.
Oh, man. And Mark goes hiking. Always hold out for the privy if possible.
Always. Yeah.
Always.
So
and here's James actually commented on the story. I've never been happier than I was to see that privy. Weird contraption in there, but I could never overlook that part.
Angels Landing. So just to get everybody caught up, if they haven't watched the videos, you were off the PCT and you all took a road trip, kind of doing some van life-esque stuff and still getting to enjoy some of the West. Because it's like a totally different world out there than kind of where we live around the South. Mm-hmm. And you all hit Zion National Park and done several different things there. But you're at Angel's Landing. And I saw in your video, you all were very close to the edge. And I was wondering if anybody commented on that. Because I have seen some comments in the past, but I didn't read them on this one.
Yes, people were very pressed about us being that close to the edge. Number one being my mother. She called me and she was like, "Hey, Kelly, why do you do that? Like, that's so, why would you be that close to the edge?" I was like, "Mom, it's literally the trail. Like, why would you do that?" Like, my poor mother.
I got a friend that always has to get the scare your mom picture. And she always is like climbing to the very edge of things and having people take pictures. It scares the poop out of me. I'll tell you that. I can't get close to the edge because I'm so scared of heights. But I was curious after watching the video because it looked like your legs were literally dangling off a 1,000-foot fall.
Oh, they were. I don't really have a fear of heights. It was funny because James went out first and I was like, "James, don't get that close to the edge. Like, get back, you know?" And it's kind of like scolding him because he was scaring me. And he moved out of the way. And I was like, "All right, let me get down there."
Scolding him.
My mom came out a little bit or something. And I don't know. But
that's funny. So what else did you all do on your road tripping experience while you're out there? And how's the van life?
Oh, yeah. So when James and I got off the trail, we were both kind of heartbroken and just kind of stuck. Like, we planned our whole summer around this hike and saved up all of our money. So we kind of just decided, like, hey, because James had to go back to Virginia for a job and some other responsibilities. And then I was going to have to get a job. So we're like, okay, before all that happens, let's plan just like a road trip out west so we can still enjoy out west and, you know, just kind of like make that our summer adventure or whatever. So we took the van out, and that was really the first time I'd ever taken the van out on a road trip. Before that, I lived in it in California for a little while and then drove it back home, but never just like a chill road trip. But we had a lot of fun. It was really fun learning how to make the van functional and just kind of learning how to like do the van life thing and like where to park and where to sleep and just all the different challenges and like different way of life it is to live on the road. So we went to a lot of cool places. James has the national park pass, so if you pay $60 for that, you get in all the parks for free. So that was really nice. We went to Petrified National Forest or National Park, I think. We went to Zion. We went to Bryce Canyon. We went to I don't know. My brain's not working today, y'all. We went to a lot of like different boondocking spots, like backcountry spots that we found on iOverlander. It was an awesome, awesome experience. Utah and Arizona, went to the Grand Canyon. Duh. We went to the Grand Canyon. How did I forget that? Like, that was the one I was forgetting. Yeah, Grand Canyon was awesome. But there's just so many parks and things to do out there. I mean, you could spend a whole year just going to all the different slot canyons, and the desert is like it's incredible.
That's awesome. Now you're doing this all in a van.
Yeah.
At any point did you have van issues? Because that's a lot of miles you're putting on that thing.
No. I knock on wood, I've been very, very blessed with this van. I knew buying it, I did a lot of research, found the exact year, make, model van that I wanted. I found the van on Facebook Marketplace. A previous girl owner, kind of my age, but she took really good care of the van. She had all of the papers. She got a good tune-up on it before she sold it to me. I got it for an awesome price. This was before van life had like skyrocketed and like COVID and gas prices and used cars prices have went crazy. So I bought at just the right time. But no, we never had any problems. I've driven that thing across the country like 4 times now, and I've never had an issue with it. All I've done to it is change the oil, and my dad helped. The AC wasn't blowing very good, but he got that fixed, helped me fix that before I left. But while we were on the road, that thing, it's a great truck. It's diesel. It gets about 25 miles per gallon. So,
oh wow, for really, a van?
That's yeah, because it's diesel. Oh, it's real good. I love that thing.
So you're not in there now, right? You're in a different.
No, I'm in my Subaru. I wanted to bring the van, but I have AC in the cab, but I don't have AC in the back, and that just ain't gonna work in Florida.
Florida. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. That's impressive. I mean, you talk to people who do the van life stuff, and they all have like these breakdown stories where somewhere along the way the van broke down, and you've put all that miles on there and never had a breakdown. That's kind of incredible.
Yeah, I know. It's going to happen probably one of these days, but the thing is, if you take care of those diesel engines, you get them checked up regularly, keep up with the oil and stuff, like, especially, I have a 2006 Mercedes, and that's before they put the DEF system in. So the newer Mercedes, like the DEF system will fail, and it's like $5,000 to fix. So that was like one of the things I researched on. I wanted a model that was like 2006 or below before they started putting those DEF systems in. And so anyway, that's a whole nother thing. But yeah, that it's a, I forget what kind of engine it is. But it's like one of the best diesel engines that's like ever it's been made. So,
well, not to go too in depth on engines, but I saw that you were want to do an LS swap on your Land Rover.
Yeah,
and I have an LS, and so did John. Yours is an LS as well, right? You drive a GMC Sierra.
Yep,
V8. And make sure you do your research on the year on those as well. Like mine would switch from 4 to 8 cylinders or 6 to 8. I can't remember. And I basically had to have all the lifters replaced and the motor kind of rebuilt. That set me back after purchasing, you know, a new to me truck. But you're smart, girl. I think that we wrapped up the last podcast. I haven't re-listened to it recently, but I think that we were talking about van life and you were starting to make some improvements to it. And you had done all this research and you're like, I'm going to be covering the windows with this and blah, 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 blah. So I'm really impressed that, you know, the rubber has met the road, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And you're actually getting out there and doing it. I'm curious, is it harder to meet and mingle with other van lifers, or is that a totally different culture versus backpacking? Because anytime I go out and backpack, it's easy to make friends, you know, if you're camping at the same site and stuff. But I thought van life might be a little bit different.
Yeah, so we were, I think it would be, I don't really know, honestly, because we were kind of looking for spots like out in the middle of nowhere away from people and to get that backcountry experience. But like, there's so many vans on the road, and it was funny because there was, anytime I see a Sprinter van that's like my make and model and year, we always give the, you know, finger thing. And I mean, I know if I pulled up next to any of these people, they, you know, we'd have a lot to talk about. And so I think van life is its own subculture. I just haven't been able to fully immerse in that. I would like to do, because we were only on the road for like a little over 2 weeks. I'd like to definitely get out there longer and kind of really just live that life for an extended period of time, kind of like with long distance through hiking, and see what that would be like.
Well, speaking on that, What's your plans? Like, do you have any idea, like, what's the next trail you're going to do? Are you going to go back to the PCT? I mean, somebody actually asked the question, would you consider the Florida Trail?
Yes, I would. I'm not officially announcing the next trail I'm doing. I will later at a later time. But yes, the Florida Trail is definitely on the list. I have three hikes that I am roughly planning for 2023. But yeah.
She's trying so hard. PCT again, or how do you, did it leave a sour taste in your mouth and you don't think that you're going to go back or what?
I will eventually go back to the PCT when it's the right time. Mm-hmm. I don't know when that time will be. I'm not in a huge rush to get back out on the PCT because I do have a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth right now from that trail. And I know that if I were to get back out there tomorrow, it'd be a completely different experience because I feel better and I'm in a better, you know, place than I was. But there's so many other trails out there. And, you know, I did 350 miles of the PCT out of 2,650. There's a lot more to do, obviously. But I have some trails that I want to do that are higher up on my list right now. But I will be back on the PCT at some point. I just don't know when.
So Jason, our good friend of ours, who we like to go backpacking with, asked, have you ever thought about seeing the Red River Gorge?
Yeah, so we were just talking about that before we got on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to. That place sounds awesome.
It's pretty incredible, I'm not going to lie. It shocks people who've never been to Kentucky and never been backpacking in Kentucky because they think of Kentucky as like horse farms,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty much it. I mean, people don't really think of Kentucky having like gorges and cliffs and these amazing views and stuff. We had a guy come out from Minnesota and hung out with Jeremiah and some other people, and he told us on a couple episodes ago, it just blew him away. So you got to come out and check it out.
I'd love to. You know, that's something I really want to do is like there's, you know, you got the big three trails that everybody knows about, but you have all these other kind of like the Red River Gorge Trail, the Florida Trail, like these less known, the Ice Age Trail, the Washington Trail, the Ozark Highland Trail, all these smaller but amazing trails that don't really get that much publicity or whatever, but they're super cool. Like they're gems in the, you know, and I want to get on those and do those kind of like, that's kind of what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah. Well, I know that the Sheltowee Trace and the Pine Mountain Trail, I believe both got on Far Out. Somebody actually posted, how about the two new Kentucky trails on Far Out? Yeah. I think those are the two that are on there. I think it's the Pine Mountain Trail out in Eastern Kentucky. And then you've got the Sheltowee Trace, which goes from northern part of Tennessee all the way up past Moorhead, Kentucky. And two great trails. Great trails.
Yeah, cool. And
those shorter trails, like you're naming, anywhere from 4 or 5 days on them to a month or 2 months, that right there, it enables so many more people to get out and have like what I would call a pseudo through hiking experience. Like, I mentioned on here a lot about me doing the long trail and the different experiences. And that took me a month, but it really opened my eyes to like, if I were to do the Appalachian Trail, kind of what that experience would be like, because you're meeting people while you're on trail, you're kind of getting a little trail family type deal going, you're seeing different terrain and you're slogging miles. You know, you have hard days, you have times that you want to quit. You know, and a lot of people do quit. And then there's other trails that don't take as long. Like John's talked about doing the Foothills Trail, and that took me 5 days.
That's 76 miles.
Yeah. So, you know, that you could take off if you had a week off work, and then you have a through hike experience that it didn't take a 5 month commitment and a total like lifestyle change in order for you to do. So I feel like those shorter trails are kind of a happy medium ground, and they enable people to have that big long-term backpacking experience in a much shorter window. What are your thoughts on that, Kelly?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that a lot more people can get out and do these trails, like you're saying, because like not like a lot of people can't take off work for 6 months and go do a long distance trail, but if you could somehow figure out how to do, like, you know, the Ozark Highlands Trail, that probably takes like 2 weeks. So, you know, some people can probably swing a vacation like that. And you're right, it does give you kind of like a an idea of what a longer through hike would be. And, you know, a lot of people think maybe they might want to do the Appalachian Trail one day. And I think that's a good way to kind of gauge if you think that it you would actually like to do something like that.
And I think too, it's an opportunity to see more of the country, because you can do a bunch of smaller trails in the course of a few years and basically see most of the state, most of the U.S. Whereas if you're doing those other three trails, you're kind of seeing the West and the East, and there's this whole middle section that, I mean, people aren't going to be up in Michigan hiking those trails, right? Mm-hmm. So if you ever get to see the Pictured Rocks Trail, I got to do that last year, and it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. Blue water, all these amazing cliffs, and all this stuff right on Lake Superior, or as Backpacking with Jason called it, the Superior Lake. It was just one of those great experiences, and I think that's what's kind of cool about those. They're still recreational trails. I mean, they're still they're not at the level as far as the mileage and stuff of the big three, but there are some really great trails out there. The Pinhoti Trail is another one.
Yep.
Someone put up here the Uhari Trail in North Carolina. It's 40 miles.
The Colorado Trail.
Colorado Trail.
John Muir Trail. Tahoe Rim Trail.
The John Muir Trail is my plan. Like 2015, that's my plan.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good one.
2015.
2025. 2015, dude. Okay, so let's just shoot straight about some things real quick. So here's what's happening right now. So, like, no joke. My kids are in sports and dance now. My little boy is 4 years old and is playing football, and I'm talking full pads tackle football right now.
The beast.
And yeah, that's Jack. My daughter's in dance, and then we're church people, so my kids have church stuff, and like Mondays are. I get off work, I pick up my daughter, get her ready for dance, take her to dance class, go pick up my son, come home, get dinner ready. My friend, I take his daughter to dance too. He comes and drops the girls off at the house. We have dinner. I come in and get everything ready for a podcast, do a podcast. I can't even think right now, Jeremiah. My brain just is like fried at this point. So it may actually be, I may have actually done it in 2015. And I just don't remember it at this point. I'm just saying, it may have happened. I probably got pictures somewhere. I mean, I did do Kilimanjaro in 2016, so maybe I did 2015. Was, you know, who knows?
Well, Kelly was saying before the show, she's had a Monday as well.
Mondays, man. Mondays are crazy.
You know, I was really excited today because I bought one of those meal boxes, like HelloFresh, but it's called Every Plate, and it's supposed to get delivered. And I was like counting on this. I was like, oh, perfect. I don't have to go grocery shopping this week. I have all my meals, like whatever. So I'm sitting on my couch, you know, waiting for the podcast and also waiting for my package and checking my phone. Well, I look and it's like package tried to be delivered, but the receiver was not at the house. And I'm like, I've been staring out my window this whole time waiting for y'all. And
oh,
so then,
no.
Yes. Well, and so then it? I try to call UPS. I start screaming at a robot for like 20 minutes. And I was like, all right, whatever. I'm not getting the mailbox. So, yeah, I was dealing with that shortly before.
Man, that would make me stuck. Coming between a hiker and their food, that is one way to get on the naughty list. If there's
that's a bad idea. That's all there is to it. It's just a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm not very nice when I'm hungry.
Is that the first time that you have ordered one of those meals? Because I've never ordered one, and I don't know if it's worth it or not.
It was my first time, and I was really excited about it because groceries have gotten so expensive. And every time I go to the store, I buy like $80 worth of groceries. And, you know, living not at home, I don't really have like all the ingredients. So I hate to buy like all these ingredients for one recipe.
Uh-oh.
All the ingredients for one recipe.
Man, I was here. I was getting ready to, like, make this food right now, and now we're not going to get to. Okay. Oh, there she is. What's up, Kelly?
Are y'all back? What happened?
We're back.
I don't know what happened. But, no, I was saying, like, yeah, I don't want to spend – anyway, it was going to be easy. Like, all this stuff was just going to be delivered to my door, and it was healthy and whatever. But now I guess I'll never know. I call a UPS store, and they're like, well, you can see if it gets there tomorrow. I was like, my food's not going to be good tomorrow. I'm going to have to throw the dang thing away.
Oh, it's like fresh. Like, it could be chicken in there.
Yeah, they put ice packs in it to keep it cold.
Yeah, but those... Y'all know those things don't melt. It's not any good anymore. It's 100 degrees.
That'll definitely melt. Oh, that reminds me. I was going to ask you if y'all ever recovered the package whenever you're on the PCT. Well, first, you tell everybody what happened.
Yes, but we have to say something real quick. Everyday Backpacker said UPS shut down your internet for a minute for talking crap about them.
They did. Oh. They're listening. They're listening. Y'all, when I tell you, I was like giving this, I was talking to this robot and I was like giving her some straight attitude. I'm like, I'm sitting on my porch, like yelling at this robot. I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Like, I just, anyway. Yeah. So that package, I don't know if James is still on here, but that's a really sore subject because that package was never recovered. Oh. And James has a intense hatred for UPS, the United States Postal Service. Like, don't even bring that up around him because he will just like go off.
Yikes. Uh oh.
Down with you.
He cut you off again.
Nuh-uh.
And look, James even put up here, down with USPS.
Yeah. I don't like them either. For the record, James, they have, they've messed me up a few times. UPS too. They all suck. Yeah, they are all. Well,
except for FedEx, and the only reason we say that is because our friend Rob Pelton works for FedEx, and so
okay,
gotta show love for Rob.
I didn't know Rob worked for FedEx.
Yep,
yeah, he's making that moolah for FedEx delivering packages. So, but yours got lost, and how much money did you have to spend in order to replace all that gear and stuff? Why were you all mailing gear?
Yeah, so it was basically all James's stuff. When we left Banning and went back home, we didn't want to fly. Like, we couldn't fly with all our trekking poles, our knives and stuff like that. And so also, I don't think I mentioned this, but like, I left from Banning and James hiked on like a couple days because his flight wasn't until like 3 days later. So he actually made it to the next town, Big Bear. And, then he like Ubered down to LA and got his flight. But so from Big Bear, he mailed all the stuff that he didn't want to fly with to my friend Tracy, who lived in a town next to Banning, Palm Springs, I think. And he mailed the stuff to Tracy's house. One box got there. I think it was the box. It was like this little one with his knife, but then the big box that had his trekking poles and shoes and my pillow that I let him borrow. And I don't even remember. It was like $700 worth of stuff. Oh,
he
yeah.
said, he said 3 full weeks of 2 to 10 calls a day and nothing was ever done. Had to buy about $700 in new gear.
Garmin.
Every time he had service on trail, he called them.
I don't blame you. Know USPS, last year we're having a Halloween party and they didn't deliver one of my packages, and we needed the package. Like, I paid extra for shipping, right? I paid like an extra $8 to get it there within time, and it didn't show up. And then I called them and they say, yeah, we have it at the post office. I think it was sent to my old address. Maybe I just clicked the buy now on Amazon, and it autofills everything.
Yeah.
And they said, you can stop and pick it up. And I was like, okay. And they're like, but we have it right here in front of us, but you'll have to pay for the shipping to your house. And I was like, what? What? That doesn't make any sense. And
wait, if you were going to pick it up, they're going to charge you to ship for not shipping?
That's what I said. I said, I'm saving you money by not having to deliver it to my house. And he was just like, yeah, there's nothing we can do. We tried to ship it to the other address and it didn't go through. So to release the package, you have to pay the shipping. And I was like, this shouldn't be legal. And
that's what I meant for you.
That's like mafia kind of stuff. Go into like a restaurant and be like, hey, we're going to protect you. From who? Oh, trust me. If you don't pay us, you'll need protection.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, God.
two boxes. I had them just send one back to Amazon. And then the other one, we had to pay in order to get it released. And I was like, Bridget, looks like you're not having those Halloween decorations we ordered, because it's not, I mean, I'm not paying to double. I'd already paid extra. You know, Amazon Prime shipping's free. But anyway, gosh. I'm still frustrated. Freaking USPS. And I said, who do I complain to? Because if you know me, look, I was on the first name basis with a nice lady from the Big Bear PO. I bet
they
you
knew her. They knew him. Like, yeah.
Well, I said, who do I complain to? Who do I have to write to a congressman to get the, to get like a bill passed? I was ready to take action. And he said, I don't know who you write to. And I was like, well, you need to find out so we can get this taken care of. He's like, I guess the Postmaster General in DC. And I was like, okay. And he's like, I was like, who is that? And he's like, I don't know. It changes with every president. And I was like, okay, well, there's nothing. USPS, down with USPS.
I don't know if I've ever seen Jeremiah this angry. Kelly, can you come on more often just so we could see this?
Like, no, we need to get James on here. And I bet Jeremiah and James could talk for a whole hour about how much they hate USPS.
And I want to be there to watch the whole thing happen. Like, I'm just going to be honest. I want to watch the whole thing happen.
It's frustrating.
Oh, my gosh.
James, retweet.
Yeah, way to represent, bro.
Mary's saying it's the red hair. It's the red hair.
Yeah, it could be. I got a temper on me, man. I try to keep it positive, though. That's all right.
Actually, he does. I'm not kidding you. This is the first of all. Usually, if anybody goes on a rant on this thing, it's me. And yeah, he laughs at me. This is the first time I can honestly say in 129 episodes, Jeremiah is the one going on the rant this time. This is fantastic.
That's
this is
hilarious.
Great.
I love it.
History has been made tonight. History has been made.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to take up all of Kelly's time. Before we get off here, Kelly, I do want you to share. I know you're going to keep making videos and everything, but share the name of your YouTube channel and your Instagram or any social media, anywhere that we can find you and follow you and keep up with how you're doing.
Yeah. So my Instagram is Kelly Hayes Hikes. No, wait, that's my YouTube. My Instagram is Kelly Hayes 23. And I also have a Patreon page. I post videos sometimes in there, like before they go live on actual YouTube. And then I do weekly updates on my life, on the Patreon page too. And I think that's all I have. I had TikTok at one point, but I haven't posted on there in forever. Yeah, that's it.
Well, your YouTube, I went ahead and put your YouTube channel up there because there are a lot of videos. There are a lot of videos on there. I mean, you're sitting at 33,000 subs right now. That's awesome.
Dang, that's crazy.
That's awesome.
Congrats on that. You got a lot of content on there for people to consume. Thanks. So they better go check it out.
Go check it out.
Well, hey, Kelly, if you're down with it, we'd love to have you back on again sometime.
I would love to. This is too fun, y'all. I like this.
Well, we enjoy it too. We definitely enjoy having you on here. So if you don't mind hanging out for a little bit, we're going to close this out. But if you'll hang out, we'll talk to you in just a second.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Jeremiah, Kelly's fantastic, man.
Yes. More Southern interviewees is what we need. More people from the South. They're just nice. They know how to have fun, laugh, have a good time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's no shock that a guy from Virginia and a girl from Arkansas work out well, you know. Well, Southern people, man.
From what I've seen tonight, she has picked a good one. That's
yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been a great show. Hey folks, I got to tell you who's going to be on the show in the next 2 weeks. We're having three hot weeks in a row. Like, this is just, yeah, so good. We had Kelly this week. Next week, we've got Jeff Garmeyer, who's going to be on here talking about his most recent FKT of the John Muir Trail. He hiked the entire thing in less than 8 days. Insane stuff.
He's crazy. We're going to talk about Crocs and running 5 and 10Ks. He's a madman. We always have a good time.
100%. This will be his third time on, or fourth time on? Third time, right?
Second time, I think.
Oh, he's been on twice before. This is his third time, yeah. And we have to find out if we're ever going to get that wrestling pay-per-view started with him. So definitely worth listening to next week and watching if you're watching on YouTube. Also, next the week after that, Joe Wilderness is going to be on. If you don't know who this guy is, his name's Jamie Secord. He's from Canada. He just got done doing Kilimanjaro and is putting out like a almost like a full length movie on YouTube about it. And he's just a really cool guy. He's a lot of fun. He's got some really interesting perspectives on things, and can't wait to have him on the next week. It's going to be a good 3-week run, man.
Yes, Kelly killed it tonight. Can't wait to talk to Jeff and you hearing you guys talk about Kilimanjaro, because you did Kilimanjaro to kind of kick off your backpacking career, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, we've already got people saying woohoo, the legend. Joe is awesome, great guy. I mean, it's going to be a good 2 weeks. I mean, and Kelly's kind of kicking off these 3 weeks. We took a break for Labor Day because we're taking a break from our labor. And now we're having 3 straight weeks of fire. It's going to be awesome. So with that, Jeremiah, thank you so much for being the person who went on the rant this week. It was nice to be on the listening end of that for a change.
Hey, you're welcome, man. Anytime.
And for myself and Jeremiah, you guys have a great night. We'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah. Adios, folks.